God is good, amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, there's a great presence in here tonight. I love that, you know, that my wife and I have talked about that so often, is that, you know, it's when people come hungry, when people come desiring the things of God, God shows up. And, you know, the presence is here to do something. There's lots of things that the Lord wants to accomplish here in this town, and I'm excited for it. I'm really blessed by it. I'm blessed that He would use me. I'm blessed that He would choose me. I'm blessed that He would give me the opportunity to serve Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so good what God has us doing, man. I'll tell you, this is what the Bible talks about. You know, the Bible says to seek peace and pursue it. And it talks about His peace coming upon you. And I'm so filled with peace right now, I could just lay down and just have the best nap in the world right now. I'm not tired. I'm just telling you, I could, there's such a wonderful sense of peace up here, and I just love it. But you know, this afternoon as I was in the Word, and the Lord reminded me of this scripture when my wife was actually up here, but when she was reading John 8:31-32, because God connected them for me. But in Psalm 119:130, it says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Praise God. You know, the word simple means just open-minded. But I love that. The entrance of your words gives light. It means if God's words aren't entering, then there's no light being had. Amen. And so as we let the Word of God enter us, as we allow it to enter our ears and then into our heart, and we've prepared the soil, amen, of our hearts. We've done the things that we need to do, that we know before the Lord that we need to do, and we come hungry and thirsty. These are the ways that you prepare the soil. Then God plants that seed of the Word in your heart as it enters, and it gives you light. All of a sudden, you know what to do. You know, if you're in a dark room, I know you're all going to know this metaphor, but that's okay. We'll use it anyways. But if you're walking around a dark room, it's real hard to see things. I like to walk through my house sometimes with the lights off. I don't know why I do. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. But I like to walk through the house with the lights off sometimes, you know, and I'm like, I know that couch is around here somewhere. And once you know, you'll find it eventually if you keep walking, you know, so you walk gingerly. You don't go running through a dark room, amen? But, you know, when you put light on the subject, you can run through that house and you dance all over the house and you don't hit anything, amen? Well, see, that's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God gives us light, and as we get that light, then we can see into all that God has for us. And don't you know, we'll be blessed, amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're excited about that. That's free, no charge. Well, today's message is called Still the Same. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And several times as I've thought about this title, you know, that Bob Seger song, I think it's Bob Seger came to me, you know, still the same, you know, that has nothing to do with the message. Praise the Lord. But the message is going to be good. Praise God. I'm excited for it. You know, this week as I was preparing, as I was just being before the Lord this week, God had me in some, just kind of looking into some of the concept of His miraculous being. Who He is, His miraculous wonders. And, you know, there's a lot of times as I was getting into it, I was really getting excited because I just realized that, you know, the same God that was the God back then, it's the same God that's a God today. He hasn't changed at all. He's the same. Praise the Lord. And our God is truly a miraculous God. In fact, we know, if you look in Romans 1, it tells us a lot about God, that the world even reflects His goodness, so it can tell us a lot about our Lord just by looking around us. You know, if you think about things, like we're used to different things. I love the whole concept of reproduction. And we're not going to get too graphic, but I'm going to tell you, it's a really amazing thing. If there is anything that tells us that evolution could not be true, it's the very process of reproduction. Yeah. It makes no sense. The way animals or humans or anything else reproduce, it is not the easiest way possible to do it. Amen? Right. And it's just amazing to me the concept of how it happens and all the things that are coming to play for that. It's miraculous. Amen? Now, it's not miraculous in the true sense of miracles because it happens every single day. We understand miraculous are when the things of the world or natural things are suspended. That's when a miracle occurs. But it's miraculous in the fact that that's the way that it happened at all, is what I'm saying. The way God designed the earth to work, the way he designed plants to take in the air that we breathe out and us to take in the air that the plants breathe out. I mean, it's amazing to think about how this world works. The fact that we need the water that's all around us, that we are so much, 70% of our makeup is of water, but yet we're solid and we do all these things. The fact that actually, if you think about it, none of us are truly solid. Praise the Lord. We're all made up of all these little tiny particles that are buzzing around each other and are not connected. Do you know that? There's space in between every atom that's in our body. Everything that we're made up of. So we are solid entities that are made up of things which aren't solid. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing how God created us? That's all free, but God is a miraculous God. And to think that the Bible tells us that in the beginning of Romans, that it tells us that the world speaks about our God. Yeah. And so we have to understand that when we look and we see those things in nature, we think, wow, that's just amazing. When you see a sunset, and you think, oh, that's just incredible. And how that all happens and the colors of a rainbow. And you see all these things, you just, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. That's our God. Amen. The world speaks about our God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The problem is that a lot of Christians have gotten away from this idea that God is a miraculous God. There's a lot of Christians that believe that God doesn't do miracles anymore. But I got to ask you something. Does a frog croak? Does a duck quack? Why? Why does a duck quack? Because it's a duck. Why does it swim in the water? Because that's what ducks do, praise the Lord. That's how a duck is made, amen? Well, see, when something is made for intended purpose, that's what it's going to be, amen? Praise the Lord. Women, stop getting mad at your men. They were made men. That's just the way that they are. You can either accept it or deny it, but the truth is you'll be a lot happier if you just accept it. It's not good. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're certainly not perfect. God made us to give us all a laugh. Amen. I believe that. And he gave us these personalities. I was having a great conversation about women and men this week. I'm going to share a little bit of it. You know, it's amazing. Women are the most amazing creatures. They are. They're just amazing. They can organize things. They can put things together. They have thought processes that are just like, that make sense. Amen. They do all these wonderful things. But you know something? There's something that women can't do. And that's the job of a man. Now, the job of a man is real simple. A guy will do everything wrong. But there's a certain thing that he brings into the equation that is this order and balance that God intended. Now, there's a lot to be said about this. I'm not going to preach a whole message on it. But you just understand that we each bring something to the table. What women bring is a lot. What men bring is a little. But the fact that that little bit is so stinking important, praise the Lord. I heard it said that there's a reason that men fight wars and women have children. Yeah, amen. Because if women fought wars, they would go on forever. And if men had children, there wouldn't be any. We wouldn't have any. That's just the way it is. We couldn't put up with it. Amen. You know what I mean? We just, yeah, guys would wuss out on it. You know how it is. Praise the Lord. But you know, I'm not bashing men or women, or I'm not saying ones. Listen, we have to stop this whole movements out there, the isms, you know, or the ist. All the movements out there, they only make like our jobs or what we do or what our nature is. They make it seem like it's a bad thing. Listen, it's not a bad thing that women have children. Why would that be any kind of a negative thing? If you've ever known what a wonderful thing it is to raise a child and to bring a child into this world, why would we ever look at that like it's lesser? I mean, foolishness, right? But that's just what the devil does. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Romans 8:11. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:11. I'm going to turn there too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Praise the Lord. The word life here, when it says give life to your mortal bodies, the word life here means to cause to live. Amen? By spiritual power to arouse and invigorate, to restore to life, hallelujah, to give increase of life and of seeds germinating, springing up, springing forth, amen? That's what the word life means. So this is what God wants to do. This is a miraculous thing that he took people who were dead in their trespasses, and he's bringing them back to life. He's bringing them back to the life, but it's not just a life, and this is what we have to understand. He's not just giving people a happy life. The whole purpose of this is to point out that Jesus wanted to bring us back to the life that God intended for us. That's a pretty miraculous thing. Our God is a miraculous God. What he intended, and this is what's amazing, what he intended for humanity by Jesus coming thousands of years after Adam came was the same thing, the same purpose of what he sent Adam for in the first place. He brought man back to that place, amen? This is what God wants to do in us. We serve a miraculous God. He wasn't okay with us not living the life that he intended. He wanted to provide a way that even though we couldn't on our own accord, he wanted to provide a way to ensure that we would get into, amen? Praise the Lord. I like that, restore to life. When it says restore to life, it means restore to the life he intended. God doesn't want us to stay broken. He doesn't want us to stay defeated. It is such a travesty that Christians live in defeat. It is such a travesty that Christians live separate from the will of God and the purpose of God. And if you're living outside of his will, you're living separate from his purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 is all about. He has a plan for us to get into. And Christians who don't walk that out, Christians who don't get into that or don't find that out, they go without that purpose. They never live the life that he's intended. And for some reason, people have listened to the devil, convinced them that the life that God has for us, the things that he has, you know, there's commandments. Jesus said, the commandments of God are not burdensome. What do you mean by that? He means stop getting mad when you hear the commandments of God. When the Bible talks about tithing, God isn't trying to remove from you. He's trying to bless you. When he's trying to get something done. He's trying to increase his church. He's trying to increase the work. He's trying to get all these things, go out into the world and do all the things. When God says to be in church, he isn't trying to rob you of your only day off. Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. But some people think that way. Yeah. See, when God says, read your word, pray, he's not saying, I want you to take time away from the TV. I know the TV blesses you, but I want you to take time. No, he wants to bless you. He wants to get good things into your life. But see, here's the thing. People who reject the truth are rejecting the light. They're rejecting the way into all that God has for them. But God's purpose in us is still the same. His purpose for humanity never changed. You know, we see things in the Old Testament that look different than the New Testament, and people wrongfully believe that it's because God changed his mind. That is not what happened. The Old Testament is the process of God bringing us back to the beginning of where we started off. It has nothing to do with God changing his mind. He had to come up with different ways, though, because humans wouldn't stay on the path he lit up. He said, here's the path. There you go. Follow this path. You'll be blessed. He said, just do these things that I'll show you and you'll get there. Yeah. Adam sinned. And then he still comes back and says, do these things and I will get you there. He had to give us the law because without the law, we wouldn't be accountable. We wouldn't know that we were actually sinning. Right. Yeah. Because we were sinning. Yeah. What's the problem with sinning? Well, when we sin, it separates us from God. We don't have his highest and best and we can't be fully blessed. And God wants us fully blessed. Yeah. Amen. But see, Christians, they just don't understand this. They get so wrapped up in theology and ideas of man that they don't look at the word and see what God actually wanted. Yeah. What did God start off with? Blessing. Blessing. You go to the middle, somewhere in the middle, if you call it the middle between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. What did Jesus do? Blessed us. And what's he do in the end? He blesses us. What's all this stuff in the middle? He's trying to bless us. I mean, why is this hard concept for people to get? I don't understand. I'll tell you why I lived in it. Because that's what I was taught. Because what I understood of God was that God was a God that gives and takes away. That God was a God who wants to remove from you. This is foolishness. Yeah, right. Again, nowhere in Scripture do you see this. But these are the truths that we have to teach. Yeah. We spend more time teaching people about the truth of God, that he is good, than anything else. So we can't even get into the deeper things of God. Yeah. But God has to have it so solid on his people that when they walk out of here, there's no question. See, we have to, if we're not at the point where when anything bad could happen to us, that we absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is still good and he's taken us through to the finish, we're not ready until we get to that point. And so if there's if you have trial come against you, listen, it ain't your fault. It's the way you were taught. But see, we're learning a new way, amen? God is still the same. His intent is still the same. His love for us is still the same. It hasn't changed. It hasn't increased, it hasn't decreased, it's always been the same. God is God and he doesn't change. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me to Ephesians 1. I know you're excited about this. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love that. I want to refer back, as you're turning to Ephesians 1, I want to refer back to that scripture I read, though. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Not saying if it may. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the Spirit does dwell in you. But he's saying that if it dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. He's not saying if it does, it may happen. He's saying what he's actually saying is he does dwell in you, and because he dwells in you, you have life living on the inside of you. People die with life living on the inside of them. Yeah, people die all the time with life living on the inside of them. How is that possible? Well, praise the Lord. Ephesians 1, praise the Lord. Ephesians 1, 15. Glory to God. Look at this. We're talking about God's will tonight, amen? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints... Now, this is an important scripture. Praise God. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, we have to understand this. This faith that it's talking about is faith. They had faith that God would save them. Faith for salvation. That Jesus was Lord. He died for their sins. God raised them from the dead so that they could be saved. That's what he's talking about there. Okay? Because there's something else he wanted them to get. There is a lot of people, a lot of Christians that go to churches that are saved, that sit in church week in, week out, sometimes several times a week, that they've got this part and this is all the further they ever go. But you know, this is what I love about these scriptures is this, in Ephesians 1:15 is dedicated to that, okay? And so 1:15 is dedicated to the knowledge that you need to be saved and the idea that you need to be saved, and that's faith, and that's good. But all the rest of the scriptures, we're going to read an abundance of scriptures that focuses on faith after that. That there's faith, there's need for faith for more. We have to understand that God's will and his intent hasn't changed. Why do I keep bringing this up? Because this is if we believe that his will and intent has changed, then we have to go seeking that purpose from some other source. We have to kind of figure out what God's will and intent is. But if we see through example, and we're told that the examples are given to us so we could they could be examples to us, if we see by example that God, what God was always trying to do, then we'll understand, wait a minute, this is what God wants to do in me. His will for me is the same as his will for Paul. Yeah. Now, you may have a different direction in that you might not be an apostle, okay, who's going to start churches. You know what I mean? Yeah, that might not be your job, and that's fine. But his will for humanity is the same as it was then. His will for humanity is the same as it was with Adam. He didn't love Adam any less, and he didn't love him any more. Yeah. Understanding that, knowing that God is not a respecter of persons, that he doesn't care if you're Jew or Greek, male or female. He didn't care what you look like, where you came from. Praise the Lord. He didn't care about all that. All he cares about is your heart. Yeah. So if you understand that, then you understand that God has an awful lot for you. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's continue reading. So therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It is very important to just not have knowledge of him, but to have wisdom and revelation. This is why people can read the Bible and never get it. because they don't have revelation of the word. It doesn't settle into them. They don't understand that God's purpose in them, what it was. Amen? Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes, look at this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, okay? We got to take this slow and really think about this. If the eyes of your understanding, have you ever had a eureka moment? That's what this is talking about. Whoa, wait a minute here. Have you ever opened the word and started reading it and been like, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before. Have you ever been there? This is what this is saying. It's saying, have a eureka moment. This is what I'm praying for, that you have a eureka moment, that you come out and you say, wait a minute, I finally get this. I understand what he's saying here. Look at this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Everybody say, I may know.
I may know.
Praise the Lord. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And remember that word hope means expectation. So it's an expectation of his calling. There should be an expectation in God's calling for you. When you come to church, there should be an expectation of you and for you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
When you become a Christian, there should be an expectation of you and for you.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. So there are things expected of you,
yeah.
But don't get so mad because there's also things expected for you.
Yeah.
You can say, well, this is what I get. This is part of my inheritance. So I'm going to act right because I'm going to walk in that inheritance. You know, the prodigal son, you know, the one that went away, yeah. Took his inheritance. You know, there was things expected of him and for him. And he didn't walk in that because he walked away. Now he came back, praise the Lord, but he had already spent his inheritance. You know what I mean? He didn't come back with an inheritance. He had already spent it all. Yeah, he took it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the expectation of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So you have an inheritance because you're a saint. Amen? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, praise God, toward us who believe. It's not towards us who go to church, not towards us who just read the Bible once in a while, not towards us who give to the poor once in a while. No, toward us, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? There is exceeding greatness in his power, and it works toward us who believe. If you believe in his power, if you believe that God didn't just come up with some new purpose for you, then you'll walk in his power. According to the working of his mighty power, praise the Lord, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That same power is working in you. That's what he's saying. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Praise God. That's above everything. So the power that's above everything, seated next to God, is at work in you to do great things, to do wonderful things, exceedingly great things. It's to do those things in you, praise God. And it was to do it then, but not only in that age, but the age to come. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So God isn't, you know, I love the, you know, this is how religious people are. This is how religious people think. They do things that aren't right because it's tradition, because it's religion, and they miss the whole point of the whole thing. I love, especially at this point, I'll bring it up, the Lord's Prayer. People will repeat the Lord's Prayer like it's one of the religious, their sacred cows. You know what I mean? Like, don't you step on the reciting of the Lord's Prayer. But the thing is, Jesus even told us, and we've brought this up before, I'll bring it up again, but Jesus even told us before the Lord's Prayer, he said, do not pray vain repetitions, but pray like this, in this manner. He didn't say pray these words over and over, because what happens is people repeat those words over and over, they have no idea what it means. What is one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer is, your will be done, your kingdom come, on earth, as it is in heaven. God's will is us to experience heaven on earth.
Right.
On earth, as it is in heaven. How do we know this? Because he's talking about earth. He wants his kingdom on earth to be like that in heaven. Amen? That's what God's purpose is. That's why he sent his son and then the Holy Ghost and then all the power that comes with it. Praise God. Where are we? Praise the Lord. We read 22. And he put all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So Jesus is Lord of all. He's the head of all. Say, I want to worship the way... No, you worship the way Jesus told you to worship.
Yeah.
Right? You want to do things... You want to do things the way... No, you do things the way Jesus. He's in charge.
Yeah.
But the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Praise God. There's nobody who would say that Jesus isn't blessed today. There's nobody to say Jesus couldn't.
Right.
Couldn't do anything. There's nobody who would say these things, right? And yet Christians think for some reason the church has less power. We are his body. The body can do nothing, or the head can do nothing without the body. God made us his body. I don't think I settled that on you yet. He made us his body. It wasn't enough to say, well, you got these people out here and they're my people. He said, no, I'm going to make you my body. I'm going to put my head on top of you. You're going to be my body. Therefore, everything I want done, you're going to do it. Everything that I have, you're going to have it. Why? Because I'm the fullness that fills all in all. I'm the lifeblood. You're my body. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's such an exciting thing. Why would we believe that God's power does not exist today? Why would we believe that God is not trying to do the same things today? Yeah. It's only because we're religious minded. We don't believe the Word of God. You cannot get that looking at the Word of God. Amen?
Right.
The Word of God is pure and it always leads us to truth. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 1. We're going to start verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1:8. Praise the Lord. What God intended then is what God intends now. Just because things don't always operate that way. You know, I was thinking about brothers and sisters that fall away from the Lord or that have a miraculous thing happen and then they walk away and they end up losing it. You know, it's never on God's end that people lose what God has given them. It's only on their end. Praise the Lord. Just because somebody doesn't walk the plan of God out does not mean that God did not intend it for them. People have this foolish thinking that thinks that, well, if somebody, they started off good and they continue in the works, and even the Bible even warns us about this. It says to continue in the works that you started. Amen. To work out your own salvation, to move towards those things. But if you stop, the Bible says we can fall away. That's clear in Scripture. It's not, no, there's no question about it. Amen. Praise God. You found 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired of even life. Have you ever despaired of life? I'm going to tell you, as somebody who used to be very suicidal, I've despaired of life. I understand that feeling that comes upon you when the pressure is so great that the only thing you want is to die. I've known that pressure. I've known that feeling many times in my life. I've known that thing, that pressure as a minister of the gospel, where in my flesh, all I want is to just check out. Just want to be done. So they understand what trouble is, right? They understood what trial is. We're not saying that life was going to be without trial. We're just saying that life will be with victory. That life is given, that God has given us something that will always carry us through. That's why Christians, only a foolish Christian says, well, you don't know what's going to, well, you don't know what you're going to get tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Good things are going to happen tomorrow. You know, and again, they quote Scripture that says that, but they take it out of context. God doesn't say, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. So you know if you follow the Holy Spirit, then you know what's going to happen tomorrow. He's just saying to make your own plans. You know, I can't remember exactly where it was. In James, I believe. James, maybe around 4th or 5th chapter. Farther in James. Hallelujah. You look it up later. But he said, you know, do not say that you're going to do this or this or this. He said, because you don't know what's going to happen in a year. Praise God. So at any rate, you understand that despairing of life, there's great trial coming against them. In verse 9 it says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but look at this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God raises the dead. God will, there will be things because of our calls, because of what we have to do. There will be times where things will come upon us. There will be things that God will allow to happen in our lives. Yeah, God doesn't bring them, but there will be things he allows to happen in our lives because we have to learn that we don't trust in ourselves.
Right.
You don't, like, you don't do that. Like, if you're talking about, like, what, this is why so many churches fail, because what they do is they build the work based on what they know. They build the work based on their ability or their ideas. They build work based on committee votes and saying, oh, well, let's have a vote on it and see what we should do. Amen? Now, there'll be times, sometimes I'll ask the opinion of people just, just to see something on little stuff that I'm not specifically directed on or whatever, and I just want to know what people think about it. But that doesn't mean we'll do it that way. We do things according to the way the Lord teaches us, amen? The way the Lord directs us. That's why we'll be successful. That's why we are successful, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. But we have to understand that, that God wants us to trust in Him. He wants to lean our whole understanding on Him. When He directs something, we do it. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Amen. Doesn't say God who raised the dead once. God, Jesus, who raised the dead a few times. No, He is the God who raises the dead. That's who He is. He's a God of rebirth. He's a God who raises the dead. He is the same today as He was then. He is still the God who raises the dead. Just because you don't see the dead raising does not mean that He isn't the God that raises the dead. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I love this. This is a scripture I want to get to here. Verse 10. Look at this. Who delivered us from so great a death? So Paul's saying He delivered us from this death. We're at that place. We're at death's door. We're feeling like death. Glory to God. But He delivered us. And does deliver us. So He delivered us once, but He still does deliver us. Amen? In whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Listen, there's a past, present, and future right there. God hasn't changed. He did deliver you. He is delivering you. And He will deliver you. Why? Because He's the God who raises the dead. He's the God of deliverance. God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who wants to see us in have everything that we need. He is the one that wants to provide everything for us. He's given us the direction and the way. This is our God. That's a pretty exciting thing. I don't know about you, but that stirs the snot out of me. Amen. That gets me all fired up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He did deliver us. He is delivering us. And He will deliver us. So what does that mean? Well, you look back and you say, well, He delivered me out of my old life. Praise God. You got something going on right now. Well, guess what? He's working on delivering you right now. And guess what? When you say, well, what am I going to do in the future? All this is going to come up, and this is going to come up, and this is going to come up. Well, He'll deliver me then too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to skip down a few scriptures. Go down to verse 19. Praise the Lord. I love the Word of God. The Word of God is so rich and so pure, and it will just show us the truth and show us the right way, amen? I don't know about you, but I feel like already I got more light on this today. I can't read these scriptures. I can never go back on what the knowledge that I've gained today. I can never go back on that. I can never go back with the knowledge. I could never sit in church again and not know that God is the one who delivered me, is delivering me, and will deliver me, amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was He not, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. Yeah. Well, sometimes God answers and sometimes He doesn't. That's not what the scripture says, is it? That may be what your human thinking says, your stinking thinking. That may be what you were brought up to believe. But the Bible tells us differently. Who are you going to believe? You going to believe Him or are you going to believe yourself? Or are you going to believe whatever minister? No, we believe the Word. Amen? Was Jesus Christ was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. Look at this. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him. Amen. So be it. To the glory of God through us. It glorifies God when we walk in the promises that He says. That's why God expects us. Listen, one of the problems is that people they don't look at the promises of God at all. But then when they do, they start looking at them. They look at them as something. Well, that's something that would be nice to have, something I would like to have, something I would like to believe God would love to get over to me. But they don't realize that God isn't just want His people to walk in this. It's a requirement that we walk in this. If we are to be truly serving God, if we are going to be truly in the will of God, if you are going to know God, you are going to have to know that His promises are a must for you.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. They're a must. When God says He wants to bless us, it's a must. It's got to happen. But it will only happen by faith. We can't separate that. Amen? Praise the Lord. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Amen. Well, what happens when people don't understand the Spirit of God? They won't understand the Word of God. People who reject the Spirit of God, they reject the Word of God too. Because you can't understand the Word of God without the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one who guarantees it. In your flesh, you will always look at the Word of God. If you don't have the Spirit, you will look at the Word of God. I'm talking about being full of the Spirit, praying in other tongues, hallelujah. If you don't know that, if you don't know how to do that, you will always go without something. There will always be something you'll miss in the Word of God. Not because God intended it, but because you're not doing the thing He said to get it. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I wrote this down earlier and I love this. When the heat is turned up, that's the place where faith is turned on. When the heat is turned up in our lives, that is the place where faith is turned on. Hallelujah. That's the place it's supposed to be. But what happens to a lot of people is when the heat is turned up, they just lay down and faint. When they feel the pressure of death, when they feel the death coming against them, when they feel the devil trying to rob them, when they see the things not going the way they planned it, not the way they expected it to happen, what happens is people start to waffle in their faith. They start to, I don't know if it's going to come through. I don't know if God's going to help me. I don't know. And they're in the lack of faith.
Yeah.
But see, the way we're supposed to be is when the heat is turned up, we're supposed to kick into gear. That's what faith is for. It's supposed to kick into gear and say, hey, well, we got faith. We got faith in the truth of the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 John 5:14. Praise the Lord. God loves us so much that He gives us His word, gives us His Spirit, gave us His Son, gives us a church, gives us preachers.
Thank you, Lord.
We still question God. Like He gave it to us all, and we still question God. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Now, this is a confidence that we have in Him. I love that. This is why I came to these scriptures. This is the confidence we have in Him.
Yeah.
If you're confident in something, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But see, what we're about to talk about, a lot of Christians just don't have confidence in it. A lot of Christians in our churches, the family churches, don't have confidence in them. How do I know this? Because I listen to the way people talk. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That means we know this is going to happen. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was just reading a note that I had there for myself. I put in there, do you have confidence in Him and who He is and what He did? Do you? Because if you do, then you'll understand that these scriptures are all for us. Verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of Him.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
According to His will.
Yeah.
But you got to know His will.
Yeah.
You can't know His will without His word.
Right.
That's why the scripture I read to you in the beginning, Psalm 119, was it 130 or whatever, it said, you know, that His light is the word is the light that enters in. The word is the light that opens it to us, that gives us the will of God, that we understand it. And when we understand it, then it's easy to go here and we know, well, if we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask for. That's real simple. I mean, this isn't hard stuff. And yet so many people just reject this as like God didn't say it. But here it is in His word. His will is the same as it was before. Because He's doing the same thing. God's heart is one thing, to bring people closer to Him.
Yeah.
That's what He wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you look at anything God does, it's all about bringing them closer to Him. Yeah. Salvation is so they don't get eternally separated. It's to bring them closer to Him. Praise the Lord. Blessing your giving is to bring you closer to Him. Because as you act more like your Father in heaven, you will be closer to Him. You'll understand Him more. You'll understand what He wanted to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay. Praise the Lord. Where are we at here? Turn with me to Romans 4:16. We were in Romans once, but we're back here again. Hallelujah. Boy, I got this one all written over. Romans 4:16. Hallelujah. We'll read all the way through verse 24. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. I paused there and I really thought about that, and this is what came to me. Faith activates, grace assures. Grace is the assurance of the thing that faith activates. Yeah. Grace will tell us that the thing that what we believe in is going to happen. But grace is the proof that, because if you think about it by your own ability, that's not grace. The grace is that Jesus came and died for us and provided a way that we could get into those graces of God again. And so the grace is the assurance, it's the title deed of the faith. Amen? Praise the Lord that we can have faith and do it. So therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Being of the faith of Abraham is what makes you seed and heirs according to his word. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who is the father of us all? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Hallelujah. Who calls those things that do not... I love this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all of scripture because it is such a round, good, whole idea of who God is.
Yeah, yeah.
That if it doesn't exist and He wants it, then He makes it exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our God.
Amen.
That's who we're the body of, by the way. So if you need something to exist that doesn't exist, you need to learn about your speaking. You need to learn about how to call things into existence. Yeah. You need to learn how God's kingdom works. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. According to what was spoken. If it was spoken in by God, it's the word of God, and therefore it is our truth. It is what we go by. It doesn't matter what anything else looks like. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Who, contrary to hope, and hope believed.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means that even though it didn't look like it was possible, he had a hope because it was based on the word that was spoken.
Yeah.
Amen? And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise. Do you waver at the promise? Do you waver at the promise of abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10? Do you waver at that promise? Do you waver at the idea that God wants to bless you, that he wants to increase you, that he wants to do more for you? Yeah. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. That's very, very important there. People are looking for the strength when they're going through a trial. The strength comes in the faith. The faith is believing God at his word. The faith is saying, we'll go to the other side. The faith is saying, no matter how bad it looks today, I'm going to get over to the other side. That's faith. That's where your strength will come from. People are like, Lord, I need your strength. He's like, say, you got to get my faith in order to have my strength, because that's where my strength is. It's found in my faith. It's found in what you believe of God. So that's why it's important to fortify yourself in the word and get yourself to believe the word and read the word and see these things over and over and over again. Because once you see them so many times, then when God says to do something or when the devil says something to you, you can't sit there and say, I don't know if it's going to happen. You're going to say, I know it's going to happen. And as you say, I know it's going to happen, then you'll feel that strength rising up on the inside of you. It won't feel that way at first. At first, you're going to feel weak. At first, you're going to feel, I can't do it. At first, you're going to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know the word. And so because you know the word, you start saying, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to step out towards the word, and I'm going to step in the direction of the other side because I know I got to get there because his word says I got to get there. I'm going to the other side because God said I'm going to the other side, and that strength will rise up in you, and pretty soon you'll be like, you'll be walking a little bit taller. You'll be walking a little bit bolder, and you'll be looking at the problem. You'll say, you know what? This problem is nothing to me. This problem is nothing because if God is for me, who can be against me? What can come against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can walk into the plan that God has for me because that's the goodness of God and that's rising up in me. There is your strength. It is found in the faith that you believing the word at the word and not what man says, but what the word says. Believe God at his word and watch how the strength meets you and greets you and takes you into everything that you have. It makes you calm the waves. It'll make you get through the storms. It'll make you build the best houses. It'll make you, you know, I'm talking metaphorically. It'll make you do all the things that God has you to do, and you'll do it with the grace of God. You'll do it with the ability of God, and it won't be burdensome because you'll just look at it and say, it's just another mountain. Yeah. But I move mountains.
Yeah.
I move the mountains.
Yeah.
Jesus ain't moving the mountains. You move the mountains. I said, he isn't going to move the mountains. He gave you the ability to.
Yeah.
Faith is where the strength is. Amen?
Glory.
Be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What do we do when we're in trial? When we start feeling it, we get down on our knees and we're like, you know what, Lord? Father, I know I can't do this on my own accord. I know I can't do this. I don't have the ability to do this. I don't have the intelligence to do this. Lord, I know that I can't, but I know that you can. And I know that you did, and I know that you will, because you are God, and you are my God, and I love you, and you love me, and I've become part of you, and you are part of me. You are on the inside of me. So I know that you will. See, this is giving glory to God. This is what our reaction should be. Not calling up Sister Bucket Mouth and Brother Better Than You and saying, hey, what am I going to do? What you got to do something. You got to help. No, you just go to God and you say, Lord, I know who you are. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. Praise the Lord. What's that song we say? Give God the glory and he will give you the victory. Give God the glory. What do we give God? See, people are going to say, Lord, I thank you for this trial. Lord, I thank you for this sickness. Oh, that's so stupid. That's not what he's talking about. We gotta have somewhat of an intelligent head on our shoulder. Listen, I'm not real intelligent. You know I dropped out of high school. You know I didn't go all the way. You know I went back, got my good enough diploma. You know how that all works, amen? You don't have to be smart to get this. All you got to do is believe. He said, have the faith of the child, and that's enough to get into everything that the kingdom has for you. The faith of a child, amen? Well, I'm smarter than most children. Praise the Lord. I'm pretty sure, anyways. But he didn't say how young of a child. He just said have faith of the child. So a little child comes along. Praise the Lord. We love Sophia. She's a wonderful blessing. Amen.
Amen.
But and she may be smart for her age. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I'm just saying she probably is. But I'm still smarter than her.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's a child. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise
and look at verse 21. And being fully convinced. Fully convinced.
Yeah.
See, if you're not fully convinced, you need to go back to the glory.
Yeah.
You need to go back to the faith and get fully convinced. Exactly. You need to start doing the things that get you fully convinced. What is that? Lord, I believe you at your word. Lord, I believe you at the word. Devil comes knocking. I believe the Lord at his word. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You have no right to be here. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're trespassing on me. The word of God says this, and this is what I believe.
Yeah.
That's how you build that strength.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fully convinced.
Right.
Amen. Praise, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Here we go. This wasn't written for Abraham's faith alone, sake alone. That was imputed. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. See, Jesus didn't just die on the cross. The thing that Christians, And I'm not against having crosses. I'm not against thinking about the wonderful thing that the cross provided. Yeah. But so many Christians stop at the cross and they forget there was something much more amazing that happened after that. He was raised up from the dead. He was in hell and he was raised out of hell and seated next to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes. And made ruler over all. Praise the Lord. Given authority over all.
Yeah.
But he didn't just take that authority and say, okay, I sit up here in heaven and have that authority.
No.
This is the trick. He said, I give you authority.
Yeah.
Because I did, I give you authority. And Christians, it's us who decide whether we walk into that authority or not. It is not God's fault if we don't. And it is not God's will if bad things happen because Christians aren't walking in the authority.
Right.
If every church in this nation walked in the authority of Jesus, hallelujah, that Jesus gave them, if every there wouldn't be hurricanes destroying whole cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wouldn't be. There wouldn't be diseases that would be plaguing our nation.
Yeah.
We certainly wouldn't be worrying about punks like ISIS and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't worry about bad voters because if Christians were taking their authority in this country, this whole country would look, I mean, this country is blessed. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you imagine what this country would look like if all Christians were taking their authority over the devil and said, I ain't putting up with it anymore. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, in closing, I want to do this. I want to show you something. Because we have two scriptures that say very similar things. One's Old Testament, one's New Testament. Amen. But it's going to put the finish the point of the conversation that we're having tonight, amen, or that I'm having. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Malachi 3:6. Hallelujah. Turn there; it's right before Matthew. I'm going to show you something else here too, real quick. I'm going to take a little side journey. Go to Malachi 3. I just noticed this today as my wife was doing tithes and offerings, because I opened here. Okay, Malachi 3, find verse 6. It's only 6 down, right?
Yeah.
But verse 1, Malachi 3, well, now we know this is the great tithing chapter. It talks about tithing and giving and the importance of it. Do you know in verse 1 it's talking all about Jesus? So like people say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but this is it's talking about Jesus right here. Verse 1 says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. That's talking about John the Baptist coming before Jesus. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. It's talking about Jesus coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that these scriptures probably still apply to us. It's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But Malachi 3:6, what does it say? For I am the Lord, I do not change. There's a promise in the Old Testament. The Bible says that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established.
Yes.
Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Hallelujah. And then go back to Hebrews. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Glory to God. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in the Old Testament, he said, I am the Lord, I do not change. In the New Testament, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Hallelujah. God's purpose hasn't changed in us. God's direction for the church hasn't changed. He isn't just starting from scratch and doing all things over. God is, his purpose is still the same. His purpose is still the same in us.
Right.
Knowing that God doesn't change should direct us and should build something on the inside of us. Amen? Understand this. And I even in my Bible, I put a little box around today. Because that's a reminder to me that Jesus wasn't just the same yesterday as he is in the future. He's the same today as he was then. So what do you need from Jesus today? Well, he was a saving God then. When Jesus walked this earth, he was a miracle-performing God. When Jesus was here, he did the will of the Father. Praise the Lord, he showed us what that looked like. Amen? The one who said, let there be, still is. Amen? The one who said, the one that parted the sea, he still is. Hallelujah. The one that walked on the water, still is. Hallelujah. The one who raised the dead still is. He hasn't changed. The one who cursed sickness and disease. The one who set people free. The one who did all these wonderful things. The one who calmed the storms with his hands. The one who fed people with just a few loaves and fish. The one who did all these miraculous things and wonderful things. Still is. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And it's up to us Christians to believe it. And then it's up to us to walk in it. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for the truth and light of your word. Lord, we know that all things that you have for us are good and that they work for our benefit because you love us. And that benefit is just not some obscure benefit that people don't understand, but it's a benefit that actually benefits us. Lord, that your grace, your goodness is for us. It's for us to use, Lord, to expand your kingdom. It's not just to make us rich, although you don't mind us being rich, but it's to increase the kingdom, Lord, that you wanted to reach more people. That's the purpose of living this life. Father, if we don't live this life with the purpose of changing the lives of people, we know that we're not living a life you intended for us, and therefore it's not blessed by you, God. But Lord, we want to get to that life. And I just say this by the Spirit right now, that I know this, that God will bless people who aren't after his plan completely because he's trying to get them to that plan. So he will bless people as they're trying to get to that plan. Because some people will say, well, why are they blessed? They're not following the plan of God. See, God's good and he's patient. He's long-suffering and he'll see you through. But there'll be a reckoning time. There'll be a season. There'll be a time where God's grace, it's not that his grace wears out, but that his grace doesn't cover you anymore. Because if you don't listen, if you don't follow, you won't walk into the plan of God. You won't walk into what he has for you. And if you don't do that, he can't bless you. So he can bless you for a time. So don't be deceived saying, oh, I've been blessed. I've been doing. No, get into the plan of God. Find out what God has for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And just so you know, that's not necessarily for people in here. It may not be for anybody in here. But that's also for the people that listen to these CDs or this sermon, the recording. Hallelujah.